listening to NHL Hour with your commissioner, Gary Bettman. NHL Home Ice, XM204.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the NHL Hour. This is Gary Bettman. Accompanying me today is Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly. Bill Clement is on assignment. I think he's doing the Flyers-Capitals game on Comcast tonight, so we wish Bill Clement well and hope he has a good broadcast. And Bill Daly, it's always good to have you here.
Happy to be here.
And for everyone listening, you're on XM204, NHL Home Ice, and we're also available on NHL.com. Later in the show, we'll be joined by Stephen Walkham, who is the NHL Senior Vice President and Director of Officiating. And I'm sure lots of you will have plenty of questions on officiating, which Stephen will stick around and I know will be delighted to answer. Before then, we'll take your calls. We'll try to get to some emails. The call-in number is 1-877-645-6696. That's 1-877-645-6696. And the email address is nhlhour@nhl.com. Bill's going to be leaving, Bill Daly, a little early today because you're going to get on the train and go to the Philadelphia-Washington game yourself.
Yeah, I'll be heading down to Philly tonight, and maybe I'll see Bill down there.
Well, I hope he's down there because if he's standing us up today, not that I'm not delighted to have you here, at least hopefully he's working for somebody else.
I'm sure he's not playing hooky.
He wouldn't do that.
No reason to believe that.
Speaking of travel schedules, you've been around a little bit. You went to a couple of games in Washington. You've been to a couple of the games in the New York-New Jersey series.
Yeah.
I've been accumulating frequent flyer mileage, not that maybe anyone cares, but I've been in Pittsburgh, Minnesota, Detroit, Calgary, Ottawa, and Philadelphia. And the reason I say that is so when I make the following comment, it isn't without foundation. The crowds everywhere have been nothing short of spectacular. Minnesota, obviously, I was in St. Paul, as Frank Brown passes me a note so that the city of St. Paul isn't slighted, but I was there visiting the Minnesota Wild. But the point is, every game we've had in the first round so far has been sold out, and the crowds have been enthusiastic, absolutely into the games. And I just want to thank our fans for just being so great to this game. It is really fun to see.
It's been amazing first round. I mean, I agree, the fan response and just to see how they've embraced their teams has been unbelievable around the league. But it's also gratifying that after such a great and very competitive regular season that we're seeing a carryover that where we have great first round series so far, you know, 1 week in. And, you know, we have very close series, and that hasn't always been the case, even when we've had competitive series or competitive seasons like we did this year. So that's good to see, too.
Well, and what also happens when it's this competitive and it's this intense and it's this exciting, what gets more scrutiny than any other time in the season is obviously the officiating. Which is why I thought it would be a good idea to get Steve Walkham on with us today to give people a sense of him, get to know him a little better, let him talk about what he does in managing the officiating staff, and let him give the fans his take on exactly how he sees the officiating and answer questions. So that should be a fun segment. And after we get done chatting with him, I think we'll open it up to callers as well to take questions for Stephen. Before we get to a couple of other issues I want to talk about, we had some starting times announced today. And just so everybody has it, Game 6 of Boston-Montreal, if it is needed, will start at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday. Game 6 of Minnesota-Colorado will start at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday. That's 8 p.m. local time. Game 6 of the Rangers-Devils series, if necessary, will start at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday. Game 6 of San Jose-Calgary will start at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday. Game 6 of Anaheim-Dallas, if necessary, will start at 9 p.m. Eastern Time Sunday. And Game 6 of Washington-Philadelphia, if necessary, will start at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Monday. So that's where we stand. In terms of the recap, I think everybody knows Philadelphia swept Ottawa. Montreal leads Boston 3-1. Game 5 is tonight. The Rangers lead the Devils 3-1. Game 5 is tomorrow night at The Rock. I plan on being there. Philly leads Washington 2-1. Game 4 is tonight. And out west, Nashville and Detroit are tied 2-2. Game 5 tomorrow night. Calgary and San Jose are tied 2-2. Game 5 is tonight. Colorado and Minnesota are 2-2. Game 5 is tonight. And Dallas leads Anaheim 2-1. Game 4 is tonight. And Pittsburgh, what did I say?
You said Philly.
I said Philly. I'm sorry. I misspoke. It's easy to do. Pittsburgh swept Ottawa. And so, thank you. Somebody is keeping track of me. It's been a long week. Too many air miles. Pittsburgh swept Ottawa. And Philadelphia and Washington are still playing. Let's talk, Bill, a little bit about something that's been getting a fair amount of attention since the weekend, and that regards the Rangers-Devils game where Sean Avery was swinging his stick and his arms facing Marty Brodeur during that game. And a lot of people are suggesting, not a lot, some, that we somehow made up a new rule and we're just making things up as we go along. And I happen to take issue with that, and I know you do, and you can weigh in. But the fact of the matter is we have a rule on the books for unsportsmanlike conduct, which is designed in its words in Rule 75 to prevent disorderly conduct on and off the ice. And it was clear to the referee at the time, while this is something that you don't see very often, few people can tell me of a reported case of anything like this happening in a game. Not everything can be spelled out in the rule book, but in general terms, inappropriate conduct is to be punished. And in fact, Don Van Massenhoven, one of the two referees during the game, saw it, and his immediate interpretation of the rule was this could be unsportsmanlike conduct, and he went to the benches to warn the teams, which I think was a sensible thing to do since we were looking at conduct that nobody had witnessed before. We issue interpretations all the time. You know, we had an incident where Matt Sundin threw a stick into the stands. If you look in the rule book, you won't see anything that says you can't throw a stick into the stands, but it was punished with a suspension. The standard of officiating that we changed coming out of the work stoppage was a rule interpretation. We didn't change the rules. Pucks being shot into the crowd for a delay of game versus batted into the crowd is something we've issued an interpretation on. Instigators can be repealed depending on a subsequent review by officiating in hockey operations in terms of how they think the rules should be applied and interpreted. And in fact, just before the playoffs, we issued a DVD and a clarification on what constitutes kicking the puck in terms of disallowing a goal. And so, you know, any suggestion that we're making this up as we go along or that we've created a new rule, I think has been an unfair mischaracterization as to something that we do in the ordinary course. And I often think it's fair to suggest that if we didn't do anything, the criticism would have been overwhelming in our failure to address something that everybody agrees has no place in the game.
I think it has a much better characterization is we actually codified the interpretation of the rule that was made on the ice and was accepted by all the players. So it's clear that if we had not made any announcement with respect to what that rule was, we may have seen a repeat of that incident, and that's not something we wanted to see.
I couldn't agree with you more. And on that note, why don't we start taking the calls? Let's start with Brian in Ontario. You're on the NHL Hour on XM 204 and NHL.com with Gary and Bill. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Brian.
I have three questions for you. Okay, the first one is regarding the drug testing policy. Could you tell me what kind of drugs are being tested for? Does this list include what would be considered recreational drugs? You know, something that might have a long-term impact on a player's career. How often are the players tested, and how much of an advance notice are they given?
Bill, why don't you answer that?
Sure. I'll do it in reverse order. They're not giving any notice. It's no notice testing. They are tested up to three times a year. The way we're currently administering the program, players on 10 teams are subject to one test. Players on 10 teams are subject to two tests. and players on 10 teams are subject to 3 tests. They don't know which group they fall into or which team they're on. So while a player may only be tested once, he has no reason to believe he might not be tested another time or even a third time. So it's no notice and it's random. With respect to the substances we test for, well, we have 2 different programs. We have a substance abuse and behavioral health program. Within the confines of that program, there are testing. There is testing that's allowed for recreational drugs. We also have a performance enhancing substances policy and program. And the testing that is conducted pursuant to that program is for performance enhancing substances only. We have a program committee that determines what substances are on that list from year to year. We have tracked since its initiation or institution WADA's out of competition list for performance enhancing substances. So we test for the same things WADA tests for.
You had 2 more questions?
Nope.
Got all 3.
Got all 3? That's great. We have a caller who's identified as Bill from Philadelphia. I wonder if that could be any relation to our wayward co-host. Bill in Philadelphia, you're on XM204 with Bill and Gary.
Gary, thanks for taking my call. Huge fan of the show.
Probably not with substitute hosts, though.
Well, I was going to say that I believe the gentleman with you today is named Bill. I much prefer the other Bill, and I was wondering if you were contemplating locking that other Bill guy up on a long-term deal, perhaps, to co-host with you.
Well, you know, I like that other Bill very much. The reason Bill Daly comes, in addition to my ultimate respect for him and being my closest colleague, this, you know, since I have brain lapses periodically, this keeps me from getting confused when I say, let's go to Bill. Bill Clement, how are you?
I'm great, thanks, guys. Great to chat with you. I was I'm on the playoff fast track like you've been, Gary. I was in Nashville last night, in Philadelphia the night before, and I'm back in Philadelphia for game 4 of the Washington Flyers series, and it's all been just really good. Nashville last night, the building was unbelievable.
And it was an exciting game. How did you make the decision that you'd rather do a game on Comcast tonight as opposed to being here with me?
No, it was a really tough call, and my wife and I have talked about it for a week. We wanted to make the right decision, and at some point, I knew that there was another Bill that could replace me in the show, and doing all the Flyers team games in the playoffs, just Keith Jones is with Versus. So the truth is, you were nice enough to give me the nod to come here to Philadelphia and do TV. So I thank you for that.
Well, thank you for all you do. We do miss you, but we know you're doing important work down in Philadelphia. Have a good broadcast tonight, and I'll look forward to seeing you next week, unless you're too busy for me then, too.
Maybe I'll stop by and see you tonight, Billy.
That'd be great. Are you going to be here, Bill?
I'll be there.
Actually, Bill interviewed me when I was down at the Flyer game. Why don't you interview Mr. Daly? And that way everybody can see you both together.
Why don't I talk to our producer as soon as I get in, and maybe we can do that. I'll look for – come and say hello to us, Bill, tonight. It'll be great.
I definitely will.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
Take care, Jen. You bet, guys.
Tom and Charlotte, you're on XM204 with Bill and Gary.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
We're
hey,
good.
Hey, I appreciate you taking the call. And first of all, I want to applaud you guys for making the action against Sean Avery's tactics, I think, for the game, for the better of the game, and just the general state of the game. I was happy to see the NHL move swiftly and clean that up. I don't think that's the image of the game that most hockey fans have come to love and enjoy. And with that, I understand with the officiating, it's a difficult process, if you will, and judgment calls. But in particular, the Rangers-Devils series, there seems to be a lot more liberties being taken in the postseason than called in the regular season with goalie interference, high sticking, blown calls on icings when it shouldn't have been an icing call. And are the officials held to the same same scrutiny as the players are when it comes to some of these judgment calls?
Absolutely. We hold our officials to the highest standards of professionalism and competence. Their performance is constantly being monitored. We have a situation room in Toronto which is monitoring every game as it goes on. When officials make a mistake, which they don't do as often as fans sometimes think, but they occasionally do. They are held accountable. And frankly, the two things you need to know is, one, we have not relaxed the standard of officiating that we use in the regular season. And two, if an official isn't working as well as we think he should be, his ability or likelihood to move on to the next round gets impacted. And so guys who aren't working well, you won't see in the second round.
Or even more games in the first round. So, you know, we do evaluations as we go along in the round, and Steven does the assignments. And often somebody may miss assignments late in a series if he hasn't performed well earlier in the series. So just with respect to the crease crashing in particular, there's obviously everything's magnified during the playoffs, and obviously it's a tactic that's been used in the past, in past playoffs. We anticipate things like that, and Steven had a conference call with his officials, and we've sensitized the officials to the need to protect the goaltenders. And I think if you take a look at the score sheets throughout the first week of the first round of the playoffs, you'd see more goaltender interference calls during the last week than you would have seen probably for half the season.
And in fact, I think we're averaging somewhere around 1.3 more penalties a game than we average in the regular season. So while that's not a dramatic difference, it does indicate, at least statistically, that we haven't relaxed the standard. Doug in Idaho, you're on XM 204 with Bill and Gary.
Mr. Bettman, thanks for doing the show. I appreciate it. My question is on the versus games that are joined in progress. I think they're doing a tremendous job with the playoffs this year. But I was wondering, now that we've got the NHL Network package in the United States, is there any way we could get those games joined in progress, maybe to be aired, the versus feed on the NHL Network, and then have it switch off of that, and people can switch to versus at the conclusion of the first game?
That's an interesting question, and it's not something that I've thought of. I need to talk to our broadcasting people. The issue that comes to mind, and as well as we believe the NHL Network is doing and growing, it's not nearly in as many households as Versus. And I know Versus cuts in and out of the games it's joining in progress to make sure you're current on what's going on. I agree with you, though, that Versus has done a terrific job in going wall-to-wall on the playoffs, and the coverage that they give of the games has been terrific. Let me explore that. That's an interesting point.
The only potential issue there is generally when you do that, the NHL Network would carry the game to its completion, and that's something in terms of maximizing viewership for Versus is would be problematic for them.
Which is a fair comment as well. Chris in West Babylon, you're on with Bill and Gary. This is XM204.
How you doing, Mr. Bettman? Thank you for taking my call. I just want to get your opinion on how you think the officiating is going so far, especially in the playoffs. And there's been a lot of missed calls here and there, and there's a lot more of the goaltenders coming out of the crease and interfering with the forwards, and it's just there's no interference call being called on the goalies. I just want to get your opinion on that.
Well, as typically, it's not the goaltenders who wind up getting called for interference. They tend to be the king of the roost when it comes to protecting their creases. The officiating, as I indicated in our opening discussion, gets incredible scrutiny in the first round of the playoffs. The stakes are so high, the passions are so high, and everybody's settling in. There's also a fair amount of gamesmanship that goes on where the teams are trying to establish something or send a message. The fact of the matter is we've had a couple of instances where the officials have made a mistake, and I'm not happy with that. But this is a game of mistakes. The players make mistakes, the coaches make mistakes, and our officials occasionally make mistakes. Not as often as people think, and quite frankly, I think our officials overall do a great job and probably have the most difficult job in all of officiating in any sport. Having said that, as we said to a recent caller, we hold them accountable, and for guys who aren't performing to our satisfaction, their assignments get limited or eliminated. And Steve Walkham can talk more about this when he's on with us later. I think the officiating has been very good. I don't think it's been perfect, but I don't think it's been nearly as bad as the criticism that it's gotten. Let's go to Jim in Pennsylvania. You're on.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how are you? You're on with Bill and Gary.
Good. Thanks a lot. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. My question, I want to reiterate what a caller said before, that I think the NHL Network is great. All the feedback I hear from some of my friends that have seen it, they're enjoying it. And as well. Versus, I think, does a great job covering the games. The only concern I have with Versus, and I'd like to know if the NHL has any say in this and what your thoughts are. I have a three-year-old daughter, and she enjoys sitting down and watching, you know, some pieces of the game with me as much as it'll hold her interest because she's only three. But during the commercials, a lot of times, Versus will advertise stuff like cage fighting and some of the other content that they show, which I don't feel is appropriate for myself, let alone for my three-year-old daughter. It makes it a little tough sometimes for me to want to sit there and watch it on Versus. I'm just wondering if NHL does have any say over whether or what types of commercials Versus can show, and what is there any thought around that?
We don't control, as none of the other sports and their network have control over their networks. Obviously, if they show anything that is inappropriate, crossing some line of what's obscene or the like, we can remedy that. But their choice of advertisers and programming that they promote is their decision. Having said that, if we get enough feedback like this, I think it's incumbent upon us to let Versus know that some of our fans are unhappy with what they're seeing and they need to take it into account. I'm not surprised that they're promoting other programming that they have on us because we're their most important programming and they want people to see what else they have. But this is one of those things that I think we're going to at least pass on to let Versus know the sense of our fans who are viewing our games on Versus. When we come back, we'll take your calls, answer your emails, all on the NHL Hour on NHL Home Ice, XM 204, and NHL.com. Welcome back to the NHL Hour. This is Gary Bettman along with Bill Daly, who just acknowledged to me he didn't know that was Bare Naked Ladies, but that's okay.
I'm not the music aficionado that the commissioner is.
No. We have a generational difference here. We're broadcasting live from the NHL store powered by Reebok on NHL Home Ice, XM 204, and NHL.com. The call-in number, again, is 1-877-645-6696. That's 1-877-645-6696. Before I introduce our guest, Stephen Walkham, our Senior Vice President and Chief of Officiating, for callers who have officiating questions, when Bill and I are done chatting with Stephen, we're going to keep him on and hopefully have him be in a position to respond to callers' officiating questions. With all the question and critiquing that the officials are getting in the first round of the playoffs, I thought it would be a good opportunity to have Stephen available and let him answer your questions. Stephen Walkham, are you on?
Yes, I am. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Where are you?
I'm actually in Moon Township, but I knew that was the Bare Naked Ladies, guys.
There you go. Well, you're almost as old as I am then. Hey, Steve, for people who don't know you or know your background, tell people where you were born and raised, where you were educated, what your career path was, and how you made it to the NHL as a referee. And what some people may not know is before becoming chief of staff of officiating, you were one of our most highly rated referees.
Yeah, well, you know, Gary, I grew up in Northern Ontario and, you know, played hockey as a kid on the outdoor rinks, probably like most kids did in Northern Ontario. Never really wanted to referee. You know, they kind of got in the way of winning, and I always wanted to play. Bobby Orr was my hockey hero. And when they built the indoor rink in my hometown, just to make pin money, I started reffing on the side when I wasn't playing. Played up to junior hockey, and when my hockey career was done, went off to school, you know, got an honors in commerce, and went out into the real world, worked for Procter & Gamble for a while, started a computer company. Had a manufacturing plant, and all the while I was refereeing, hoping for a break one day to get in the NHL. And I was lucky enough to get in, worked in the American Hockey League for 4 years, and then in 1990 was hired full-time, and you know, was fortunate enough to you know, get on the ice with a lot of good officials and work my way right through the Stanley Cup Finals, and then, and you know, 3 years ago got offered this job, took it, and I've been working ever since.
Have you regretted it ever since?
Well, you know what? Honestly, I think you always miss the ice, Gary. I would think if you talk to any player that had been, you know, on the ice, your passion is still on the ice, and I would be lying if I said that I didn't miss it.
Hey, Stephen, it's Bill.
Hey, Bill.
So tell us what goes into your thinking when you make a judgment to leave your on-ice career probably at its height to take a what can be a desk job, but we know it's not solely a desk job.
Well, you know, at the time, you know, the league was coming out of the lockout, and I was always one of those guys in the room that, you know, when we would be asked to, you know, enforce a standard, and I would always say, well, what about the puck carrier? I mean, we're going to call penalties on the non-puck carrier, but not on the puck carrier? That's the guy on TV. We're going to get thrown under the bus. They're going to say we're not doing it, that we've backed away. So as fate would have it, you know, when Coley came along and asked me, he says, you know, we're really going to do it this time. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. And that played a lot into my thought of taking this job, because I felt that, you know, this was my place in the game at this point in time, that if I came off the ice, I could hopefully lead our team to doing what we had struggled to do previously. And it has been a challenge. I think that this year we'll finally see it cemented, but I know I'm at the rink a lot with my kids, and I know it hasn't trickled its way all the way down yet, but if we continue to set a good example at the NHL level, I think we'll see speed and skill in the game at every level.
I apologize in advance, because this may sound like a silly question to you, but frankly, for our listeners, and we're talking to Stephen Walkham, the chief of officiating for the NHL, what is it exactly that you do?
Well, I handle complaints in slow motion now. No, in this job, we, you know, my sense was that the officials should be viewed as a team. So just like any team, we have a scouting and you know, development side of our business. We have and we oversee that. We have to schedule 1,230 games, you know, over 4,000 assignments. We oversee that. We have to motivate, educate, and guide the guys and the 75 guys on our team, and manage the managers that you have in the field, you know, that work on the pro side, that work in the minor league side, and make sure that we have people in place for the future. So we have, you know, like a guy like Terry Grayson working on succession planning to make sure that we have future stars in officiating coming up through to replace many of the stars that are exiting our team. So it's really like a team. We treat it like a team, and our guys are committed to it like a team. So I basically coordinate that.
What's your sense of your current team? And you mentioned planning for the future. Where are the future NHL officials going to be coming from?
Well, right now we have seven guys in the American Hockey League. They come from all across North America, some out of the major junior leagues out west, some out of the major junior leagues in the east, some out of the colleges in the U.S. But my belief is that there's a vast untapped resource of potential officials that are coming out of college and university across Canada and the U.S., and these guys, they love hockey. They have a passion for it. And if they just tried officiating before they got into the beer leagues, playing all the time, they might find that they like it. And those are prospects that are sort of untapped. But for us, we're in all the leagues. We're looking for guys in the East Coast Hockey League. We're looking for guys everywhere. But we have seven full-time guys that all have NHL experience in the minor leagues right now that are competing for the Calder Cup final now. And so, you know, in a nutshell, that's where our guys are coming from.
So let me start asking you the more difficult question, because after we come back from a break, which will take in a couple of minutes, we're going to let you answer some officiating questions from our callers. We're talking to Stephen Walkham, the NHL's Chief of Staff of Officiating. Stephen, this time of year, the officials get intense scrutiny and criticism. We get accused of changing the standard, of the officials making mistakes, that the officiating is terrible, that we pick on certain teams. How do you respond to that, and how do you think the officials are doing 1 week into the playoffs?
Well, first of all, I think the races and the teams are closer than ever. So that leads to teams, you know, getting into gamesmanship before the puck even drops. So that's at an all-time high. And so one team that has a good power play, you know, they'd like a tighter standard. The team that doesn't have a good power play, they want less called. And for our guys, we just tell them to just call the standard as you have all year. Call what you see, not what you think you see. And my sense from the first week is, you know, we've had some bumps, but this is the first year where I believe that our team has truly been consistent with allowing good body checks, but still calling the fouls and the standard when they occur from the start of the game to the end of the game. And you know, in viewing the hockey, I think it's led to some of the most skilled, fast, aggressive hockey that this sport has ever seen. And for our guys in the playoffs, what they really want to do is you think of it as a golfer. You know, you might make a mistake, but the game needs to recover real quick so we don't make a triple bogey. And our team, I think, has done that. And we're out there in a war. I mean, there's so much passion and emotion out there right now in the game. It's unprecedented, really. And these, our guys are in the middle of the battle, and the game participants will do anything to win. And I think our guys all recognize and have done a good job of recognizing their responsibility of the game, upholding the integrity of the game when the battle's on. So, I mean,
acknowledging, as you and I both have, that there have been a couple of mistakes. How would you grade the officiating staff so far in the playoffs, and how do you hold your officials accountable when they make mistakes?
I would grade overall good, moving to very good. In terms of guys making mistakes, you know, when it happens, when a player has a mental lapse in the game and the puck goes in the net, you can see the mistake, and the guy can recover and maybe score a goal. For our guys, I mean, when they make a mistake, obviously most of the time they know it already. They deal with it in a debrief with the series manager, and for most of them in that round, they're still working. But it can affect their selection for games later in the round, and it can ultimately affect their selection for the next round. And I think that people need to know that our guys take their job real seriously, and they want to get to the Stanley Cup final. It starts at training camp just like the players. And when they make mistakes or have mental lapses, they know that it affects them and ultimately affects their chance to get to the Cup.
Stephen, do me a favor. Hold on. We're going to take a break in a couple of minutes. But before we do, and we get to the officiating calls that I see are on the board, I'd first like to take one caller who's been on hold for almost a half hour. Jeff in Charlotte, you're on with Bill and Gary. You get the last call before we take a break.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Hey, listen, thanks. I don't care what anybody says about you. You're all right by me.
And thank you.
Listen, you know, with respect to high definition, you know, there's nothing better, with maybe exception of women's gymnastics, than hockey in high def. And with the package on center ice through dish, why through this playoffs has there been nothing in HD on any of those games? I'm just really kind of perplexed by that.
I believe at the present time it's a question of channel capacity and how much capacity the respective providers, either Dish, DirecTV, or the cable companies, have. It's not unlimited. The technology is being improved. I think on most nights you can get at least one game in HD.
About Pittsburgh.
Versus has an HD channel as well. which is getting increased penetration. As you know, if you think back to 3-4 years ago, most people didn't have HD television sets in their homes, and there was virtually no programming available. It is increasing, and over the next 2 years, I think you're going to see a dramatic increase in accessibility and carriage of HD programming, especially NHL programming.
If people watch the game that are new to the game and watch it in high def, it makes such a huge difference, and I think it's just an incredible enhancement to the potential, greater access to the game for people. I think it's just fantastic.
We completely agree, and in fact, HD begins to replicate more of the in-arena experience that's filling all of our buildings every night. We believe, and obviously people will accuse me of being biased on this, in person, there's no better sports and entertainment experience than an NHL game, and conventional television has never been able to keep up with that experience.
Something we're working on.
Callers, please stay on hold. When we come back, Stephen, Bill, and I will be around to answer your calls, all on the NHL Hour on NHL Home Ice, XM204, and NHL.com.
XM's Rob Dibble from the show on MLB Late, XM 175. Back to NHL Hour with Gary Bettman.
Well, William, that is the Grateful Dead.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's okay. The only reason Bill Clement would know that is because he's much older than you. And even me, Bill, if you're still listening.
See, I watched Bill when I was a baby.
Did you? he'll get even with you tonight. Stephen Walkham, you still on with us?
Yeah, I'm here, guys.
That is the voice of Stephen Walkham, the NHL's chief of officiating. Patrick in California, you are on XM 204 with Stephen Walkham, Bill, and Gary.
Hi, Gary. It's Pat Lubinsky. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
We met about a year ago. I was the promoter of the handheld device that allows you to watch instant replay and get live statistics.
Well, it's good to talk to you again. Do you have a question for Steven?
Yes, I sure do. Being the avid Ducks fan that I am, I'm a little bit upset at the officiating from the first few games, and I wanted to kind of get your read on that. You had mentioned that you're kind of promoting speed and skill, but I think there's a lot of fans like me and others out there that really like the, power and the physicality as well. So I'm a little bit concerned that, especially in the first, couple games, the Ducks got kind of the raw end of the deal. And I think there's about 17,000 of fans just like me that kind of feel the same way right now.
All passionately impartial. Steven, you want to respond?
Oh, yeah. No. Hey, Pat, I think you made a real good point, because in the game so far, there has been a tremendous amount of hitting and finishing checks. And I think we encourage that and want that, and I think we've seen a lot of it in the playoffs so far. But the tactics that fall outside of that, in terms of, hooking, holding, slashing, cross-checking, where there's fouls, we want them called. So there's always a fine line within the game, but we don't discourage hard physical hockey. And and the players will always test those limits, and when they test them, we hope that our guys are there to make sure that they get pushed back to what's fair, what's safe, and what's within the rules.
Adrian in Dallas, you're on with Stephen Walkham, Bill, and Gary.
Hey guys, how y'all doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Adrian.
Hey, I got a question. Now, the caller right before me, and he said, "I got the raw deal of it." Well, I do believe hockey, that's what hockey is, strong physical play, finishing your forechecks and what have you. But the question is after, the first period, when the referees go back, conversate, do they conversate about what the calls were and how they're calling the game? And also, do they notice, because, there was headhunting out there. I mean, if you notice the first two games, this game, you know, I'm not saying just because I'm a Dallas Stars fan, but I'm saying, you know, as a hockey fan, there was headhunting out there, and, you know, Stars got a bunch of calls also. But, you know, I just want to know, do referees notice stuff like that? Do they want to calm the game down a little bit? Those are my questions.
Yeah. Well, Adrian, I think you make some good points, because what you're saying is do the officials debrief after the period? And the answer to that is yes, they do. They go in and talk about, you know, the period, what happened, what they're doing well, and what they could do better. And within the game, these guys are highly skilled, and they get a sense of when players are over the top, and that's why we have rules in the book, because if players are playing over the top, and the game needs reined in, these guys are good; they'll rein it back in. So that's a great question, and you know, it's a good backup question to the first question that was asked.
Brian in Sacramento, you're on with Steve Walkham, Bill and Gary. This is XM 204.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Steven, I was kind of curious about Game 3 in Calgary. You know, for the most part, I think that the officials do a great job. But what happened in that game? There was a non-call on Saric. It seemed like there could have been at least two or three penalties that could have been called on that play. And then the phantom elbow by McLaren. Both penalties affecting the game, the outcome greatly. Was that ever reviewed? Was anything said about Saric's hit and he didn't get suspended?
Yeah,
you know, it was a clear blow to the head.
Yeah, on the Saric hit, it was deemed a very hard hit, but a legal hit on the play, and on the other play, our guys get to see the play in real time. And in real time, it sure looked like an elbow on the play. You know, with slow motion, high def, did the elbow make contact? You know, many would say no. But on the first play, that's a legal body check. And, you know, it's allowed in the game. We don't want anybody to get hurt. But we certainly do encourage body checking in hockey.
Bill in Florida, you're on with Steve Walkham. Bill, Gary, you're on XM 204.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Steve, I got a question for you regarding Carey Frazier. I want to single him out because I remember him back mid-season. This was a game that he was officiating. I think it was on HDNet where there was an incident that happened. It had to go to video review, and Carey took the – after the video review was over, Carey Frazier took the time to explain it, explain the situation. The announcers were like, wow. And I was real impressed with it, too, and I was just wondering why more officials don't do that.
Well, you know, Bill, that's something that we've talked with John Shannon and T. And Carey does a real good job of announcing the penalties. And the one problem that we found this year is that our guys need a little more training to be color commentators in the game. And that's something that a project that we're going to work on at training camp this year, so that when we come back next year, we can give the fans a consistent message after video review. And it's an area that we can improve on as a team, and so that we can all do it well.
Steve, hang on. We're going to take another call. I just want to let everyone know that Bill Daly has left the house. He's on his way down to Philadelphia. So, Steven, it's just you and me right now.
Okay, see you later, Bill.
Stick around, Steven. Joseph, it doesn't list the location, but you're on XM 204, and you've been holding for over a half hour. What can we do for you?
Oh, it's okay. It's been a while, but it doesn't bother me. Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering, who do you think has the best chance of making the Stanley Cup Finals for both the East and the West?
That's a great question, and I won't let our officiating chief make a prediction, nor will I. What I can tell you is, based on the start that we're off to, it is completely unpredictable. Virtually any team that's remaining of the 15 teams that are still alive, almost anyone can do it, and that's the beauty of the passion, the intensity, and the duration of these playoffs. So what I can promise you is they're going to be exciting and entertaining, but I have no idea who's going the distance. Let's go to our next caller, Tony in Miami Beach. You're on with Steve Walkham and Gary. This is XM 204.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just got a couple of comments. I just want to say the officiating has been wonderful this playoff season because we're seeing athletes play at levels we've never seen before, if you ask me. And the referees have a hard enough job with the speed of the game. They are allowed to make a mistake once in a while. But secondly, we're talking about goalie interference. The Devils' third goal last night, and this is a team that's complaining about goalie interference. Their third goal last night came with Lundqvist's stick getting knocked out of his hands and a man clearly in the crease, and you didn't see anyone complaining about it.
Steven?
Yeah, well, you know what? First of all, thanks a lot for the compliment, Tom. We might have a job in our office for you.
I thought he was a relative of yours.
We haven't migrated that far south yet, but Tony, the guys appreciate that, and appreciate the support. And you're right. There's within the game. I mean, if you break down any game, there's always calls that go for you and calls that go against you. I can assure you that when it comes to goaltender interference, we want to protect the guys in the blue. And if our guys see interference in that area, they're supported when they make the call. So appreciate your comments, and keep watching the playoffs. It's tremendous hockey.
Brian in California, you're on with Steve Walkham and Gary. This is XM 204.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good. How are you?
Good. Privileged to talk to you. See, I'm down in Southern California. I have a couple questions real quick. So your job, Steve, or do you have somebody that actually pairs the referees together, such as maybe an experienced guy with a newer guy? Because I know it's like Eric Furlatt, as a new guy, would be paired up with Carey early in the season. Now he's doing the playoffs, which is really good for him, I guess, because he's advanced himself to be an experienced referee. And another question is, the other night in the Ducks game, the announcers, my local announcers, which I guess a lot of people didn't see because it was on my local PBS, not televised by Prime Ticket, but our Ducks guys, there was a penalty in the third period that called against the Ducks, increased to a four-minute minor, double minor, because blood was seen. However, the announcers thought the puck hit the player earlier in the play, and it wasn't from the stick hitting the face, yet the referees called it as if it was done by our Duck guy. So how's that determination made? There's not really an instant replay. I mean, are the referees kind of told about that after, where, hey, you guys really shouldn't have called a double minor because it really wasn't from the stick, it was from a puck in action? Yeah. And you know, you don't see that too often, but you know, we're sitting here with Dallas momentum coming back, you know, going from 4-0 to 4-2. Now they got a 4-minute power play. We're in danger of losing game 3 again, you know. So that was just a concern I had.
Steven, go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, in the pairings, Brian, you know, deal with the guys that work on the pro side, and we try to put together guys that we think will, A, work together well and be consistent with the rest of the guys on the team. And it's like you know, coaching and putting lines together. You kind of have a feel for the guys, and you have a feel for who will be in sync together and working the game. And in terms of that play, that's a unique play where, you know, a stick makes contact. We want our guys to see the contact, and then if there's an injury, then they have to make a determination on whether or not the injury was sustained from the high stick, and that can be done in consultation with the linesman and the other referee on the play to get it right. So we work hard to get those right, and if it happened earlier, I would have to roll it back to be able to tell, but on that play, they deemed that the injury was from the stick, and that's why the 4 minutes were called.
Steven, the officials are instructed not to guess, correct?
Absolutely. Someone in hockey, a GM that's been around a long time, Lou Lamoriello, he came up with a great saying, and he says, you know, when it comes to officiating, call what you see, not what you think you see. And for us, we've added to that, call what you see and call it any time that it occurs in the game, and you'll be supported.
Luke in Virginia, you're on with Steve Walkham and Gary. This is XM 204.
Well, thanks for taking my call, guys. I'm a Canadian living in Virginia, and let me tell you, without you guys, I wouldn't have any sports talk radio to listen to, because they certainly don't talk about hockey over here.
Well, thank you for being a fan, and without people like you, we wouldn't have the support we do.
That's great. Thank you. Question is, I know growing up I was a minor league official and appreciate how hard it is to be a referee. But as we sit around watching the games and having a few beers, the guys and I always wonder, how much do those referees make? And is it worth it? And it's always a question I had is, if you can discuss it, what does a referee make, a linesman make in a typical year? And get to the Stanley Cup playoffs, is that just like a bonus that they get at the end of the year?
You probably are more sensitive and know this better than I do, Stephen.
Yeah, I probably do. Well, I can. Before Gary came along, that we weren't paid very well.
Well, thanks a lot. Now you just got me in trouble with the owners.
No. The remuneration package now for the officials is very good. You know, a linesman will start in the NHL around $100,000 a year. That's probably after he's done a year in the minors. Referee around $150,000. That's after he's done probably 3 or 4 years in the minors. And then they work up a scale based on how many years that you're in. In terms of the playoffs, it's a playoff bonus for every round that you work, and you're paid per round, and obviously you want to go on as far as you can. I can assure you, though, that the pride of and the sort of the interest in working the Stanley Cup final is far greater than any money that you'd be paid, and our guys take a great deal of ownership and pride in doing that.
Stephen, what can a most senior official who works the final make?
He can make over $300,000 a year, and you know, it's the remuneration package is fair for the officials, and it should be.
Ted in Detroit, you're on with Steve Walkham and Gary. This is XM 204. Ted in Detroit. Okay. Adam in New York, you're on with Steve Walkham and Gary. This is XM 204.
How you guys doing today?
We're good. How are you?
How you doing?
I'm not too bad. Just watched game 4 last night between the Devils and the Rangers. I just wanted to say, I think the officials do an excellent job. The only question I had, besides the goaltender interference by Parise on Lundqvist yesterday, was the non-call on Sean Avery getting pummeled in front of the net by Bryce Salvador right in front of the official. I don't really remember who it was. I just want to ask you, Steve, I mean, what does it take to really have an interference call made when a player's just having his head shoved into the ice? Well, I want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah. I think, it's a judgment call on by the officials that are there. They have to judge a lot of things. Is the player moving? Is he being interfered with? Is he being pushed? Is he being shoved? Is it enough for a penalty? And obviously they've got to do it at high speed. And, if they believe that, a penalty was deserved, whether it be interference or roughing, our guys will call the penalty.
Steve, I don't have to cut you off there. Giving me the cut. We got to
go.
Thank you for being with us, Stephen Walkham. This has been the NHL Hour. Coming up next is In the Slot with Phil Esposito and Jim Taddy. We'll be back on Thursday, April 24th at 4 p.m. Eastern. Until then, goodbye and have a great week of Stanley Cup playoff hockey.